commenced with Chumash Bamidbar. We finished Chumash Vayikra, so we'll do something in Chumash Bamidbar, which pertains to Shavuos, and that is Parshas Pinchas. And something Parshas Pinchas juxtaposing Parshas Emor in Vayikra, which we will soon examine if someone will be so kind to be a Chumash. Thank you. So we will see, examine some of the issues, and I think, as always, the Rabbi Trevor has something that is very something amazing to explain and analyze the psukim. And here we go. So if you'll be so kind and turn your chumashim to Parshas Pinchas, let's just find the precise place, the exact place, and that is Parshas Pinchas. Now, Parshas Pinchas in general is the Parshas, it's referred to as the Parshas HaMusafin. The Musafin, the additional Korbanos daily, there were Korbanos brought in the Beis HaMikdash as the Korbanos Tmidin, right? The Tomid in the morning and the Tomid in the late afternoon. Okay, that was the regular, usual Korbanos. Then it came to Shabbos, there was also an additional Korban Musaf that was called Musaf. That's why we daven on Shabbos. In addition to Shacharis, we daven Musaf. Okay, we daven Shacharis and Mincha, and then Musaf. In addition, Yom Tov also, we have a Musaf. Because in the Beis HaMikdash there were korbonos musafim, additional korbonos. Each chag had their set aside, their specific korbonos, which had to be brought on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, etc. So in the Parshas Pinchas, we have there where HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes for us, good evening, the korbonos. I think it would be helpful if you had a chumash. Yeah, okay. Because we're going to treat some of the text today for a change. Okay. So in the Parshas HaMusafin, where it comes to the Korbonos of...
892.
Thank you. 892. Okay. Where are you? 892. Yashar Koyach. Correct. So page 892. So there's a small section after... so we have the... It tells us about... it starts off with the Rosh Chodesh, right? Because Rosh Chodesh... If you notice, on 890, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us about Shabbos, right? That's 890, and then we go on to read about Rosh Chodesh. That's the Musaf of Shabbos and the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Then we go on to tell us about the Musaf of Pesach, and then we talk about the Musaf, the Musvei Hayoim of Shavuos. Okay, and let's read it together. Nothing wrong. We'll acquaint ourselves with these Musafim. And we say it in our Tefillah Samusif, in the section set aside for Musaf, right? There's a section for Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos. So the section on Shavuos, it says, over Yom HaBikurim, Ba'akriv Chem Mincha Chadosh El Hashem, on the Yom HaBikurim, meaning on the Shavuos, which they bring Bikurim, the first, when we reap the harvest of the wheat. So the harvest, when we harvest the wheat, the new wheat, we have to bring a new carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Mincha Chadosh, the Shtei HaLechem, which we'll soon learn in Parshas Emor, we'll soon come there. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes Chag HaShavuos, this Yom Tov as we know. In the Chazal it's called Atzeres, in the Torah it's called Chag Shavuoseichem, Shavuos, or B'yom HaBikurim, right? Because it's Bikurim, the new wheat, the new fruit. B'akriv Chag Mincha Chadosh, the new Mincha LaHashem B'Shavuoseichem, Mikro HaKodesh, Hashem says it should be Mikro HaKodesh, Yelachem, Kumlechaz Aved Yolosasu. So it has to be, right? We sanctify the day, we call it Yom Tov, and we can do no Malach. And HaKadosh Baruch tells us the Korbonos, we craft them, Eilu L'Rechen, Eilu L'Hashem, you have to bring a Korbonos, Eilu. Porim B'nei Bokor Shnayim, you have to bring two bulls. I elected one ram. Shiva chvosim b'nei shano, seven lambs. Okay? Menchosim. Then it also, Menchosim, seven zbulul v'ashem v'shlesh v'shem l'aparo v'echo sh'nei yisrim l'ay l'echot. Yisrim yisrim l'akev v'sech l'shiva z'chvosim. Which that is called the minchas nisochim, right? There are, we know of the libation, that's called nisochim, right? Niskeyayin, which we bring the wine libations of the Korbanos, and there's the water libations which are brought on Sukkos. Now, minchas nesachim are brought in all, with all Korbanos. These are minnochos, right? Flour and oil, which accompany. Now, there's a separate Korbanos, which are called Korbanos mincho. We're now, when we're talking about here, this is called nesachim. They're called minchas nesachim. Minchas, as the Rambam describes and explains all the inyonim in Hilchas Maisar Korbanos, chapter Perik Beis. So minchas nesachim, right? Each of these sacrifices have to have the mincha accompanying the sacrifice, the animal, right? and they burnt, they consumed on the Mizbeach. Good. Then the Torah concludes, you also have to have one goat to atone for you. And then Hashem concludes, all of this is all of this has to be done in addition to the regular korbanos. And the Nesachim also have to be without, it shouldn't be spoiled, they have to be perfect. Okay, sounds right, doesn't it? Good. Just by the way. So this is a special section which tells us about the Musve Yoim of the Chag HaShavuos. Now, if you notice, just to highlight just a couple of points, just by the way, and that is interestingly mentioned, and there's one obvious thing which is found known, Talmud Yerushalmi in Mesichta Rosh Hashanah, which all the Pashtonim, all the Mefarshei HaMikra, the Rishonim, the classical Rishonim, bring it to our attention. If you'll just examine it when time allows, where it says Seirizim Echad Rosh Chodesh, you also bring a Seirizim, a goat, right? But there it says lechatos, for a sin, for the sinner, right? Lechaper aleichem. Here the term chatos is not mentioned. Hashem says only lechaper aleichem, to atone for you. But it doesn't say lechatos, for sinning, right? Why isn't that term used, even though we find it by all the other musafim, that the term chatos is used? Sin. So Hashem says, it says in Talmud Yerushalmi, Hashem says, due to the fact that today, now, meaning the day of Shavuos, you took upon yourselves the yoke of Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu regards this, in other words, that brings about a transformation in the Jew, in the person, by taking upon himself the yoke of Torah, and that is regarded as if he's never sinned before. So therefore the chatos, the whole term, description of chatos, is not mentioned on the Shavuos. That's what it says in Talmud Yerushalmi. Nevertheless, in...
So why did they need a kapara then?
For tumas migdish v'kotshov, whatever, and this sin is like a tov. Discussed, the different in Yonama discussed. Good. The other Rishonim say, well, if you'll examine a Parshas Emor, you'll see by the one of the Karbonis, it does say, the seer, the sawyer, by the Shtei HaLechem, which we'll soon see which accompanies the Shtei HaLechem, does mention the Chatos. So it's discussed. But this is just the Talmud Yerushalmi. Just another point mentioned in the Balaturim and also another Rishonim. For instance, the Oila Behikraftim. Oila, right? He says, if you'll examine all the time, Oila is mentioned, right? The sacrifices which are brought and totally consumed at the Mizbech, the Oila is written without a full Vav. Not in full, without the Vav. Ayin Lamed Hey. Here it's written with the Vav. Ayin Vav Lamed Hey. In the Pasuk Chav Zayin, right? And the Balaturim says this alludes to the Vav Sivan, the sixth day of Sivan, which the Torah was given. Basically what they're saying, both the Talmud Yerushalmi and also the Balaturim and others, and he has additional other in Yonim which he brings to our attention, which connects us to the Shavuos. And same goes for other Meforshim, which is novel, because the facts are, nowhere do we find that in the Torah Shabbat Sab, is there a connection between the Chag HaShavuos and the Matan Torah, in an obvious fashion, right? And the fact is, as the Alter Rebbe passes before Shem Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos, in the end of Hilchos Pesach, the Metuch Tzadik Dalet, from the Tshuvas HaRivosh, quoted in the Chok Yangif, that the reason we say Zman Matan Torah Seinu today, it so happens to be, the Gemara says, Pa'omi B'chamisha, Pa'omi B'shisha, Pa'omi B'shiva, that the Shavuos, which is really the 50th day from the Sphira, which we count Sphira from the second day of Pesach. Okay, that's the, so on the 50th day, right, Tisbruch HaMishim Yoyim, and that day, that's when Shavuos is, so there's no set date in the calendar, right, and it's irrespective if it's the 5th, the 6th, or the 7th, and the Gemara says that when they used to sanctify the new moon based on the Re'iyah, when the two Edim came to testify and gave testimony to the Sanhedrin or the Bezdin, and they said they saw the new moon, so it was possible that the Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the Chag HaShavuos came out to be, the Chag HaShavuos could have been either on the 5th of Sivan, or the 6th of Sivan, or the 7th of Sivan. Says the Alter Rebbe, the only reason nowadays we say Zman Matan Torah Seinu on the Chag HaShavuos, and it says Mefurish, what does it say, what do we sell, how does the Torah describe and relate to the Chag HaShavuos? It's Yom HaBikurim, Ba'akrivchem Mincha Chadosh Al Hashem, B'Shavuos Seichem. It's a Chag HaShavuos. It's because you counted 7 weeks, right? And because it's the day which Hashem says you should bring the new korban, right, from the new harvest, the shtei halechem, the korban from the new wheat in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why it's called B'yom HaBikurim. But nowhere is it mentioned that this is the holiday which we celebrate of Matan Torah. And the Alter Rebbe therefore says that the only reason we say Zman Matan Torah Seinu in our Kiddush and in our Tfilis, right, Chag HaShavuos says B'yom Matan Torah Seinu, is because nowadays, based on the calendar, Shavuos always coincides with the Vav Sivan, which is the Zman Matan Torah Seinu. And the facts are that that many of the menhagim of the day of Shavuos, mamish going off on tangents, therefore we have to get moving, I'm sorry, but it's just general information, that we find many menhagim of the day, right? Many major inyanim of the day, definitely related to the Chagah, to the Matan Torah. We see the Kriyas HaTorah, right? In addition to what we mentioned in the Tefillah. And in the Kiddush, Ma Matan Torah Seinu, the Kriyas HaTorah, right? The main, which is basically conveying the gist of the day, right? Is Aseres HaDibros. Right, so it's the second day of the second Yom Tov, the Yom Tov Sheni, which we just talk about the Chag HaShavuos in general. But Aseres HaDibros is after the first day, so we see even though it's not really an intrinsic part of the Chag HaShavuos, nevertheless.
In the Maftir we read.
In the Maftir, that's the Hisof. Yeah, but the Iker Kriya is not. Normally the Moyadim, you have to read the Minyone HaMoyed, right? Pesach, you read. The Iker Kriya is about Chag, Alderas HaSukkos. Shavuos, you speak about the Matan Torah, even though Dafka the Chag HaShavuos is not connected with the Matan Torah. So to speak, it's what the Chazal connected, etc. And so happens to coincide. Avad Ketikach, the Rebbe's Machadash Achidish Godel, because the Alter Rebbe says that the fellows were going over the dateline, right? Either by a ship or plane or whatever. And because the Rebbe claims, doesn't claim, the Rebbe Paskins, excuse me, I'm sorry. The Rebbe Paskins, right? That fellow, is the Shavuos is dependent on the individual's counting. So therefore his Shavuos may end up being on a different day because it depends on his counting, either if he goes, over either way, so either before or after, and therefore he'll have to keep an additional day of Shavuos on his own Shavuos, the main Shavuos will be a different day, and therefore he wouldn't be allowed to say his Matan Torah Seinu on his main Shavuos day. Because it's not Vav Sivan. And the whole reason the Alter Rebbe says you say his Matan Torah Seinu is above Sivan. So the Rebbe says, even though afterwards it was already instituted and becomes part and parcel.
Is it like if you should daily Torah?
No, but the halacha is that it's above Sivan. That's the halacha. There's a big shekel of Atari in the Achronim, the Poskim, etc. There seem to be contradictions. But the Psak halacha is above Sivan. And so therefore, anyway, others disagree with the whole thing. Some say that even according to the Shuvah Sarivosh, that you say it's Matan Torah Seinu because of Vav Sivan, nevertheless you could say it even when it's Hey or Zayin, according to Tzlach, etc. Anyway, we're concluding. So nevertheless, the Talmud Yerushalmi does connect, saying, basically shows that the Torah does allude in a way to the Matan Torah, even though the Shavuos, in an obvious fashion, is not connected to the Matan Torah. Okay. That's just sounds of music in the middle of learning, so we have to learn b'simcha.
It's Rosh Chodesh already.
It's Rosh Chodesh. That's it. So Mamash coming there. All right. Good. Now, open up. Put your bookmarks over here. And let's go now, quickly. I'm sorry, I held you up a bit. We'll just go for a moment now to Parshas Amor, which this is called the Parshas Hamoyados, right? This is referred to, this is the Parshas Hamusof in Parshas Pinchos, and Parshas Amor, and that is in after Achron Moed Kedoshim Amor. So we'll see on the page. Amor, and Amor, we will find in the Parshas Hamoyados, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about some other aspect of this Chag, and this is on page 684 in Vayikra. 684. Usfartam lachem imachros haShabbos. So in the Pasuk 15, it says Usfartam lachem imachros haShabbos. Miyemei biyachmes emeratnu v'sheva Shabbos timi b'stei. Yena, you have to count the sphere until Admi imachros haShabbos haShvius disbrechamish. Miyemei, you count the sphere for 50 days, and then Hashem says on that day, the 50th day, v'yikrafta mincha chadosh al Hashem. You have to bring a new korban, right? A mincha chadosh, a korban the Beis Hamikdash. Hashem says, where do you bring this? The breads for the mincha from, you bring Meresh Vesechim from Meresh Yisrael, Toviu, it has to be lechem, it has to be two loaves of bread, we know, right? Shtei es shnei es shtayim, two loaves of bread, and all the halachas described, the Rambam tells us in detail, based on the Sichta Menachas, the Mishnais, and the Gemara, in detail, and Hilchas Tmidin and Musafin, Perkhes, those who are interested, help yourself to a Rambam, to this Rambam, that Rambam, many editions of the Rambam, beautiful, the Rambam Pasha describes for us all the details of this korban, etc., and all the korbanos, especially this one. And he goes on to say, and then the Torah says, "Look, okay, so we have to bring the shtei halechem." No, then it says in Pasuk Yudches. Then there's a halacha. You have to bring korbanos, right? Which these are biglal halechem. These are musafim, but not musafim. Musvei hayoim. In other words, Parshas Pinchas is discussing the musafim of the day. Because it's the holy day, it's Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. Therefore, because of this day, just like Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Pesach and Sukkos on Shavuos, you bring these are Musfei Hayom. That's Parshas Pinchas. Then this is the Musafim Biglal Halechem. If you bought this halacha, then you have to bring a special korban called Shtei Halechem. On this day, Hashem says you have to bring Musafim, but they're Biglal. Rashi says Biglal Halechem. It says Vehikraftem Al Halechem. So Rashi says Biglal Halechem, and basically that's what the Gemara says in Masechta Menachos. And the Rambam introduces, starts off. He starts off and presents for us these halachas, and he tells us at the beginning of Hilchos Tamidim U'Musafin, Perek Ches, that you should be aware that there are two parshas. There's a parshas Pinchas and there's a parshas Vayikra. And don't think that this is a repetition, that two separate groups of korbonos. There's a group of korbonos which are Biglal Alechem, these are Musafin Biglal Alechem, then that's Vayikra, and then you have Musafin, Musvei Hayoim in parshas Pinchas. I'm saying it over and over again, just to drill it in. Good. Okay. Now, take a good look, and therefore the Torah goes on and says, look at the korbanos you got to bring. You have to bring seven lambs, b'nei shona, far ben bokor echad, one bull, elim shnayim yiyu, right, and two rams, etc., etc., and then you have to bring umen and chosim and eskeim, right? You have to bring also the mincha and the libations. Then it says, Hashem says, v'asisem si'ir izem echad l'chatos, seder l'chatos is mentioned, as I mentioned, right? Rabbi Chaim Paltiel, that's not Rabbi Paltiel from Melbourne, but Rabbi Chaim Paltiel, one of the Rishonim, he already raises this, that here the Chatos is mentioned by this Korban, etc. But he says it doesn't say Lechaper, therefore it can follow. Okay, right. So here too you have to bring a goat, then a Shnei Kvasim, another two lambs, right, for Shlomim. And then the Torah goes on to say, and basically the Pashtonim, in addition to the Halacha, the Pashtonim also, take a look at all the Pashtonim, you'll examine, you'll see, they will also bring to our attention, you shouldn't be mistaken, Rabbi Yosef Chorsher, the Chizkuni, all the Pashtonim tell us, don't be mistaken, that this and this is the same issue, because it isn't. Take a good look. You'll take a look and you'll see. I want to just look, count the korbanos, and you'll see. True, the lambs are the same amount, right? But they are oilos. But then there are two additional lambs in Parshas Vayikra, which have to be brought as Shlomim. And that's not found in Parshas Pinchas, number one. Then with the bulls, here it's Par Ben Bokor Echad, there's one bull, and here there are two bulls, right? Then we go to the Elim, to the rams, here there are two rams, and here's one ram. You get it? So there's no two ways about it. The Mefarshim say there are two groups of korbanos, as we've just mentioned, the Halachis and the Pashtonim, the commentators, etc. Ended. We end there. Good, fine, straightforward. Now that we know that, now, here comes the Rogachova. The Rogachova says, I never saw the Rosh Hashanah say Verstehnisht. He just says Mazos, you know, what's going on here? Like, he looks at this, what's going on here, you know? He sees that something doesn't fit, doesn't match. What's going on? Mazos. Okay, so take a good look now. He says a Givaldic thing. He says Tayre Zach. Good. Now, just let's take a glimpse at the seven lambs, right? There's seven lambs here and seven lambs there. Mary had a little lamb, yeah? Lahavdal. Seven lambs. But, right, and they have different criteria. But just look, when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conveying that we have to bring the lambs, take a look at the language. The Rogachover says as follows. When it comes to Parshas in 892, which we're concentrating on, right, 892, it says, Shiva Chvosim B'nei Shona, seven lambs B'nei Shona, right? Years, a year old. That's verse number 27, correct? You have it. Shem says, seven lambs, shiva chvosim b'nei shona. Good? Good. Now, yeah, I want to just tell you, by the way, I'm just highlighting to you what the Rogachover highlights. In addition, if you're patient enough, you'll see interesting Rav Meir Simcha and Meshech Chochma brings also to our attention and analyzes a lot of fine details and differences between, juxtaposes Parshas Pinchas with Parshas Vayikra, and many other Rishonim also juxtapose Parshas Pinchas, and they highlight different details. But these are two details Dafka the Rogachover highlights, and I haven't seen, I was doing a bit of search, and I didn't find, not search on Google, Parshas search in hot copy, yeah, and I didn't find many, the couple of Mefarshim I have, I didn't find many to highlight any of them, except one or two, as we will mention as we go on. Good. So here's a Shiva Chvasim B'nei Shona. Now let's take a glimpse at the Parshas, examine the text in Parshas Pinchas, in Parshas Emor. Yeah, what's it say there? When he speaks about the Shiva Chvasim, yeah, take a look. Posik Yud Ches. V'hikraftem al alechem. Shivas Chvasim. And here it says?
Shiva
Chvasim. Now who would believe that the Dafke, the Rogachover, out of all people, should Bachlal notice it? Such a big mind. Yes, Shemrim, it's two Einsteins, so Bialik said, man of business. The heck with him. Yeah, he didn't need him to say it, but okay, let it be. So he notices all these fine details. Tens of volumes on Rambam and Shas and Kola Torah Kula. And responses, thousands of responses to the worldwide. He was the Sara Torah, master of Torah, right? The biggest sages sent questions to them, didn't know what to do with themselves. They had no one to turn to except to the Rogachev Argoin. So he, the big Rogachev Argoin, notices this fine little minor detail. Unbelievable. He says, look, here's a Shiva Chvosim. And here it says, Shiva Chvosim, yeah, Shiva Chvosim. Is there a difference? You bet there's a difference. Nothing to do with that, to my knowledge. No, they both have to be Zohar. No. We'll talk about it. We'll get there. No worries. There is a difference. Listen, if there's an extra tough, there's surely a difference, right? It's a tough and a hay, it's a difference. But there is a difference. We'll come to it. The Iker is, why the difference? Okay, well, soon, once we'll explain what the difference is, and we'll realize what we'll learn the halachas, because the Rav Chaim knows the halachas, he says, here we find that the halacha is reflected in this expression. That's exactly what the Rav Chaim is doing. So you have to understand the Rav Chaim wasn't a petty-minded individual, chas v'cholila, right? But because he knew kolat Torah kula, as mentioned over and over again, therefore he saw how the Torah Shebiksav basically reflects kolat Torah kula, even the finest minor details in the halacha are reflected in the fine print of the Chumash. But we would never notice it because we're still in the midst of learning. But if you know it all, you'll notice it and you'll be able to explain it and appreciate it. Okay, so that's why we don't notice the fine detail in the Chumash and Mashenga the Rogachov. So he says, here it says Shivas Chvasim, and here it says Kvasim Shiva Chvasim. And Shivas Chvasim. Then he says, look, take a good look. Then he has another problem. He says, now, if here it's mentioned Shiva Chvasim, and there it's mentioned Shivas, so you see that it's Dafka, right? Hashem changes from Vayikra, from Emer to here, that it's Dafka Shiva. So why, if so, when it comes to Pasuk 29, Isaroin, like Eves HaEchod, there it says, Lishivat HaKvosim. There he does allow himself to say Shivas HaKvosim. It should say Lishiva Kvosim.
No, but there's a...
There's no?
There's a hay in front of HaKvosim. So you
could... I said Lishiva Kvosim.
Shiva HaKvosim.
No, Lishiva Kvosim, I just said six times. You get it? You know what I mean? You have to understand, the Rogachev, when he raises questions, of course he's taking the grammar into consideration. Yeah, but basically, appreciate it. We're talking about the Kvosim we just mentioned. Yeah, for sure, don't question. But Tatazisa.
Okay.
So therefore, we can put it in such a grammatical state. In other words, the grammar can match and write the Shivat and make it the grammar fit.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? So we see, that's what I'm saying. So here it says Shiva, there's a Shivas, and nevertheless, here it says Shivas, Shivas HaKvosim. What's Tuchado? Says the Rogachev is Bedafka. Shiva Dafka, and Dafka there's Shivas. Here we go. Okay, now the Gemara says, he introduces the Gemara in Mesichta Menochas, Daf Mem Dalet, Domet Beis HaMishnah, Mesichta Menochas, Daf Mem Dalet, and a Gemara in Mesichta Menochas, Daf Mem Hei. This is all recorded in the Rambam, Nilchas Tvit, Numosofin, Perek Ches, Halacha Yudzayin, Yudches, Yutes, etc. There the Gemara says as follows, right? We mentioned that we bring, in the parashas, both in Vayikra and also in the parashas Pinchas, we bring bulls, lambs, rams, and also goats, right? So the Mishnah says, Haporim v'ho'elim v'hakvosim v'hasi'irim. Now, si'irim is in question if there's such a text in the Mishnah. Some want to make it correct, some say it doesn't belong there, whatever. Now is not the time to discuss that. But let's talk about the bulls, the rams, and the lambs, okay? Rhymes. Okay. So, porim elim v'kvosim einon ma'akvin ze'ezze. One is not essential to the other. That's the way Rabbi Artscroll, Rabbi Schottenstein translates. One is not essential to the other. And Rabbi Tauber says, oh boy, he has it. He explained, whatever, you get me. He has a different definition of Ma'akvin. Pasha, the definition of Ma'akvin. One is right, is not, no, come on, some fancy terminology, who cares? Anyway, essential sounds good. Right. So basically, ma'akvin means one doesn't interfere with the other. One doesn't stand in the way of the other. That's ma'akvin, right? One is not essential on the other. It means one can be without the other, basically, in simple terms. That's what the Mishnah says. Haporim v'ha'elim v'akvasim. So even though they're all grouped together as a group of korbonis, Hashem says, these are the korbonis musaf of the day, right? And Hashem says, these are the korbonis musaf of the lechem. Nevertheless, says the Mishnah that one is not dependent on the other, one is not essential to the other. Now, the Gemara says as follows. In conclusion, the Gemara concludes to say as follows. That you have to understand, this all applies only to the Chumash HaPikudim. Only to the Parshas Pinchas. When I said, says the Gemara, when the Mishnah says the Gemara, that one is not essential on the other, that's referring to the bulls, the rams, and the lambs of Parshas Pinchas. Okay? Of Parshas Pinchas. But it is not so in relation to Parshas Emor. Now, the Gemara specifies and deals with the alien, with the rams. And the Gemara says as follows. Here, in how many rams are there? Let's see. In the first, in Parshas Vayikra, there are two rams, right? And here there's one ram. Okay? So the Gemara says, right? So on Yom Tif, right, we're bringing all of these korbonis and all of these korbonis. Right? So the Rambam basically counts them out. He says, there are 20 behemoths and tichveis. Like, oh, look, I count them out. We'll see how many. Loads of behemoths they're busy with, right? Bringing on Shavuos. Okay. He mentions exactly the numbers there. Okay. Now, so the Gemara talks about the rams. And the Gemara says, you should know, that the rams of Vayikra are not essential to the rams of Pinchas. And the rams of Pinchas are not essential, and the ram of Pinchas is not essential to the rams of Vayikra, right? In other words, what does that mean? That means, let's say they were only able to obtain two rams. Well, they were only able to obtain two rams, right? Two rams. They could only, that's all wasn't available. They weren't able to get an unblemished ram. For whatever reason, right? So therefore, they only had two rams. So what are we doing? So we're bringing only two rams for this head, right?
For the lechem.
Beglal halechem. We don't have a ram for this head, right? Says the Gemara, nevertheless, the ram's beglal alechem is fine. This is not essential, just because there's a ram lacking, right? In the korbonis musaf and shalayim, it's okay, even though it's not, right? Even though, in other words, these rams are not dependent on these rams. These rams are not dependent on these rams. Finished. But, says the Gemara, but the two rams are dependent on each other. They are essential to each other. If you only have one ram, and you're right, in the korbonis beglal alechem, you can't bring the other ram. Nothing doing. What's the problem? It's just simple, right? And this is derived from Pesukim. Basically, from which Pesuk? Look, take a look at the Pesuk, and it says in the Pesuk as follows. The Pesuk says, the Gemara says, where it says, V'kraftem alechem shibikvasim tzimim v'nei shodafar b'abakarecha v'elim shodayim, Yihiyu oyla l'ashem. Yihiyu. It says Yihiyu. You get it? So by the korbonis, Yihiyu is mentioned. You know what Yihiyu means? They should be. Says the Gemara, Yihiyu means they should be, they should remain to be, remain that way. So the Gemara basically has a known definition of the Gemara, Bahava Yoso Yehe. It should remain just that way, no other way. The Mela says the Gemara, when it says Yihiyu in reference to the two rams, you must have two rams. If there's one without the other, nothing doing. So you can't, there's something lacking in the korban. No good. You can't bring the other, one without the other. But there's no Yihiyu mentioned. Take a look. When the Torah talks about the Yom HaBikurim, there's no Yihiyu mentioned in that Pasuk, in the Pasuk of Zayin. V'hikraftem oylo l'rech l'Hashem, parim v'nei bakash na'im el, aylach shibazim v'nei chazim v'nei chazim. Yeah, that Pasuk has no Yihiyu mentioned, right?
Yihiyu could...
No, v'hikraftem.
Yeah, no, but Yihiyu could be to all the...
Where?
In the first one, to all the...
Where? Korbanos. Where do you see Yihiyu mentioned? Where?
Not here, I'm saying by
Vayikra. Oh, we'll get there. We'll get to a moment. Just a sir, a moment. We're getting. But first, we're talking about. Not for nothing that I've said, let's talk about the rams first. I'm getting there. I appreciate it. So, just about the rams, right? So, it's just clear enough. So, in the passage where the rams are mentioned in Parshas Vayikra, it says Yihiyu. We're not learning Pesach now. Now is not the time. Tosfos discusses Pesach. Tosfos discusses Sukkos. We cannot talk. The time Pasha doesn't allow, even though the Gabbai is not here. But nevertheless, we got to go, and it's late. All right? So, take a look at the Tosfos in Daf Mandala, the Beis in Menachos. Tosfos talks about Pesach. Wonderful. Okay, and the Gemara talks about Sukkos, etc., and also Sukkos. Wonderful. So, let's talk about the rams again. So, the rams, it says, Yihiyu, by the rams of Parshas in Chumash Vayikra. Therefore, one is essential for the other. We need both. Yihiyu, they remain that way. There's no other way. Mashenki, the Yihiyu mentioned the Vehikraft and the Pasuk Chavav. Good? Now, Tosfos just by the way mentions, if you take a good look at the end of that parsha, it says, at the end. So maybe that Yihiyu says Tosfos, but you should know that Yihiyu refers only to that pasuk only. It doesn't refer back up to all what is mentioned. Alright? So it addresses only the topic of that pasuk. That's where the Yehiyu is mentioned. But that Yehiyu doesn't refer to all the way upwards. Okay, so that's in relation. So basically what the Gemara is saying is that's the definition. When it says in the Mishnah that Elim are not essential one to another, it means the Elim of Vayikra are not essential to the Elim of Pinchas. And the Elim of Bamidbar are not essential to the Elim of Vayikra. But the Elim of Vayikra are essential one to another. Finished. Good. Now, how about the Elim and the Kvosim? Okay, so here we have an interesting thing. Kvosim, let's take the kvosim, the sheep. That's a big one. Seven bulls, stutzak, bulls, right? Good. Now, it's obvious from this Gemara, right, that if the rams, because there's no Yehiyu mentioned in Bamidbar, so just as the rams are not as, there's no Yehiyu to say that what something is essential on the other, the same applies to the Elim and the kvosim and the porim. The porim and the kvosim are also not essential one on another. Because there's no Yehiyu mentioned in the Chumash Bamidbar, right? In the Bamidbar, there's no Yehiyu.
Bamidbar, there's only one
part.
How can you say
Yehiyu? Parim. Tatazis. Seven Parim. Kvasim, I mean. Seven Kvasim, I'm sorry. Seven Kvasim. It's Kvasim. Let's talk about the Kvasim, no? There's no Yehiyu.
And how many
Parim? You could say Yehiyu. Forget about Yehiyu. You could say Yehiyah too.
Okay, yeah.
That's not... We're talking about, right? They're not plural. Yehiyah or Yehiyu says it should remain this way steadfast, and there's no way to be flexible about it.
Yeah.
Right? So because there's no Yehiyah or Yehiyu mentioned in reference to the korbanos, either par or keves or ail, so b'meilo, therefore, they're, each one is not essential on the other. And that's the halacha. The one is not meyakad, the other. The Rabbi Mamish enumerates it mefurish in halacha chof in Hilchas Tmidin Ubusaf in Perik Ches. The Rabbi says, let's say if the we only had six, the Gemara says mefurish, if you only had six, you only had one. You only had one bull, you're supposed to, you only had one keves, one lamb. You're supposed to have seven kvosim, right? Nevertheless, you bring it. And we don't have to make up for it the next day because the time is past and forget about it. That's what remains. Okay? Because there's no yeyo yeyu mentioned. So they're not marked. Nothing is essential on the other. Okay? So one is not dependent on the other. Not the elim and the porim and the kvosim on each other. And also the elim within themselves, the kvosim in themselves, the porim in themselves, that's all a chumash b'minbar. Finished. But going back to Emma, right? Because we say the rams are essential one to another, because it says Yehiyu, right? So what about the kvosim? Let's talk about the kvosim, right? The seven sheep. So interestingly, as follows, the Tosfos Yontif brings a Kesef Mishnah, and the Tosfos Yontif says the Kesef Mishnah seemed to be under the impression, right, that the kvosim are not essential one to another, even in Chumash Vayikra. You get it? Only the rams are, but the kvasim aren't. Take a look at that pasuk. What's the problem? In the pasuk where it says, right? V'ikraftem, where is it? V'ikraftem al alechem shivas kvasim tmimim b'nei shono. Ufar ben bokor echol, ve'elim shnoim. So says, the Gemara says clearly, ve'elim shnoim yiyo oila. So there, the elim, the rams, are dependent one on another. They're essential one to another. And therefore, if one is without the other, you can't bring. But when it comes to the kvasim, if you only have one keves or five kvasim, you can bring one without the other. That's what the Tosfos Yontif understood in the case of Mishnah. Just one moment. I'm going to discuss everything. I'm here for that. I prepared all day. I'll be very honest with you. Not all day, but a good part of the day, let me tell you. And I thought about it and regurgitated and thought of what all the different questions one can ask. Number one, because I asked them myself. And number two, because I expect it will be others will ask them. So many of the inyanim you're raising, we all thought through. So don't worry about it. And I'm sure you'll have some novel ones of your own. And you're entitled to. But so don't worry about it. I'm coming there, Mirtz Hashem. And I think you Baruch Hashem, a regular participant. And you know the style, that I take care of most of the problems. I can't say all of them, but many of them. Okay, thank you. So excuse me for that. Anyway, time is running out. It's 10 to 9. I'm sorry. But we're going to come there. Good. So the Tosfos Yontif mentions the case of Mishnah. And Elamit, I'll be very honest with you. You have no idea. When it starts with all these things about what is essential on the other, dear Shittis and Shittis, it never ends. It's Geferlach. I'm not going to mention Shittis. I'm trying to siphon the information for you, right? I'm not asking for a thank you. I'm just saying, Mamish, and in my mind, I'm trying to siphon it too, as I'm speaking, to get out of my way all the other Shittis, just to crystallize it and just mention, you know, precisely what we're going to deal with. So I'm just mentioning Mamish what's negayah, even though there are, like I say, other opinions and other etc. It goes on and on, both Rishonim and Achronim, both in the Rambam and Hilchos Midrash Musafin, in his commentaries, and also in the commentaries of Masechta Menachos and in the Mishnayos, etc. So I'm just, okay. So the Tosfos Yontif mentions the Kesef Mishnah. Tosfos Yontif, why mention this with Kesef Mishnah? Tosfos Yontif is straight on the spot. Kesef Mishnah is on the spot. Now, is it so clear in the Kesef Mishnah? I'm saying the Tosfos Yontov quotes the Kesef Mishnah. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have a Kesef Mishnah, we can check it out ourselves. But you see, if what the Tosfos Yontov saw in the Kesef Mishnah, I don't see in the Kesef Mishnah. And not just I don't, others didn't either. And others did. So I'm just mentioning what the Tosfos Yontov claims the Kesef Mishnah says. Tosfos Yontov claims the Kesef Mishnah is of the opinion that the Kfosim and Parshas Vayikra are not essential one to another. And you can bring six, seven, one, six, whatever. Just as in Parshas Pekudim. Parshas of Pekudim, Parshas Pinchas. Now, others agree to that approach in the Kesef Mishnah, that he is of that opinion. And that is, in the Sefer HaMuria, one of the known commentaries of the Rambam, he also learned the Kesef Mishnah that way. And the same also in the Sefer called Shoyen V'Yoshvei, a very unique Givaldic Sefer. He's a Machaber Yodua, author. Known in all the schools of study, it said halls of study, and that is known by the Sefer Tehillah L'David. He wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. He was from Bardichev. He was a big chosid of the Ruzhiner and the Sadigura and the Biyana, and a big chosid, a big chevraman, a big tzaddik. And his commentary is givaldic. And basically, what is interesting is that he dafka set up his whole commentary dafka only on the Rav Shulchan Aruch. In other words, he's known to be one of the greatest exponents of the Rav Shulchan Aruch. And he set up, he only has sections of the Shulchan Aruch where the Rav Shulchan Aruch wrote. Wherever there's no Rav Shulchan Aruch, he didn't even comment on the Shulchan Aruch and the others, even though he comments a fair bit on the other commentaries, etc. Okay, the Iker is, he has a Sefer on Rambam called Shoyin V'Yoshvei, and this is recorded also by other Mephoroshim. So all these commentaries, they follow with the Tosfos Yontov, that they understood in the case of Mishnah, that it is so, and they add an interesting thing. They say, look, it says Yihyeh, but didn't we? The reason we said the rams are dependent on each other, right? Because it says, the Gemara says Mephorosh Yihyeh, right? Bahava Yosiyehu. It says in that same passage Yihyeh, that should refer to all of them. So he says the Kesef Mishnah learned that the Yihyeh refers to what it was in reference only to in connection to what is in immediate connected to it. It says Va'elim Shnayim Yihyeh, not the whole passage. You get it? So even though the whole passage mentions Kvosi and it mentions Par, but where does it say the Yihyeh in sequence to the Va'elim? Right. So there the Gemara says, Yihyeh. So it doesn't oblige us to say it also refers back to the whole of the rest of the statement in that Pasuk. That's the way these Achroinim, these commentaries say to explain the Kesef Mishnah, the way they understood it. Now there are others who say, the Shoshanim L'David, one of the great commentaries on Mishnais, etc., one of the Gedolei Apostolim, the Sfaradim, in the Rav David Pardo, he says there's no way that the Tosfos Yontov is right. There's no way the Kesef Mishnah even meant that. I'm not going to go into the details. But I'm just saying the Sheshanon Ledovet is of the opinion that the Kesef Mishnah never even meant that. In other words, he says nothing doing. If the Yihyeh refers to the Elim, like the Gemara says, and therefore the rams are essential one to another, definitely it will depend to all the rest of the Pasuk. And the Par and the Elim also are dependent on each other. And the Kvasim are also dependent on each other. So the Yihyeh goes back to all of that.
The punctuation, the tab.
You're entitled to say what you're saying. It could be it suits and it fits. Pakasha, but like I say, I haven't yet seen. You can argue. No, it may be a point to substantiate one of the sides, one of the opinions, and definitely so. No question about it. It means something. But I haven't seen them mentioning it, but it's all right. Good.
According to the Kesef Mishnah, how would you add the extra EU? If you wanted to include the Kvosim, for example, you'd have to add.
It would have. I don't know. Yeah. Good question. Excuse me, why do we have to go so far? Ich weiß nicht.
Okay.
Ich darf nicht tragen.
Ich
weiß nicht. Don't know.
It shouldn't have been included in the first place.
Don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't know. That doesn't have to bother me. In other words, basically, what they're saying, Kesef Mishnah says so. And he says, because the Gemara says it relates to the ram, and the Gemara says, yeah, you means Le'ikuva, so it refers only to that. I have no hechru to say it refers to all the rest. That's all he's saying. That's what they want to say for the Kesef Mishnah. Okay. Now, the Rogat Shavar is clearly of the opinion, like it would seem from the Gemara, in other words, even if we learn like the Kesef Mishnah, not accepting what the Kesef Mishnah is saying. We're following the way it's obvious from the Rashi. There's a Rashi. That's what the Shein V'Yoshvei quotes a Rashi in the Sechta Manach, Daf Mem Hei, and a Tosfos in Daf Mem Dalet, where there it's very clear that they are of the opinion that the Yihyeh, just like we say, the rams are essential one to another, the same applies to all the rest of the Pasuk, to the Kvosim also, and to the Par also. So now they're essential to each other, and each is essential to, in other words, just like the rams are, here we go, just like the rams are dependent on each other, right? The Kvosim are also essential to each other, okay? That's what we're accepting. Rashi and Tosfos say so clearly for Parshas Vayikra, and we also want to say so for the Rambam, and definitely that is the opinion of the Rogat Shover, and that's the opinion of the Tosfos Yom Tov. And that's what remains. And what remains is clearly, according to that, in conclusion, basically, we accept, we take the Gemara at face value, that everything what is mentioned in Parshas Pinchos is one is not essential on the other, right? Because there's no Yehiyu or Yehiyah mentioned. But whatever is mentioned in Parshas Amar, because Yehiyah or Yehiyu is mentioned, therefore one is essential on the other. What is only interesting is are the Purim essential to the, are the Kvosim essential to the Eilim? You get it? Because what we're discussing is that within the rams, one ram is essential on the other. The kvosim, one kevis is essential to the rest of the kvosim. But are the kvosim essential to the rams? Are the rams essential to the par? You get what I'm saying? And the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah, in the commentary of Mishnah, says they're not. But we said that one is essential to the other is only within each group. So that's another issue which is mamish dealt with. I'm just trying, I don't want to draw you a cup, I'm just trying to raise to your,
so Ramesh,
to your attention.
Not what? They're, not what?
They're, not. They're not essential to another, the different meaning are not dependent on each other. But within each mean, within each species, the seven kvosim, let's talk about the kvosim, right, the lambs. You must have seven lambs in Parshas Vayikra. But if you have seven lambs and you don't have a par, it's okay. You get it? But that's another thing which we're not going to discuss tonight. I'm just raising, bring to your attention all the different, some of the aspects which are dealt with. Again, so we're talking about each section, right? So let's talk about the rams. The rams, each ram is essential on the other.
There are opinions that they're all, that they are makabit on each other.
Definitely so. Definitely so. Yeah, 100% so. There's Mefurish and Rishonim, and also Achronim, I think the Menachas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Zayin takes it for granted that everything in Parshas Amor is essential to another. Both, number one, each species within each species, and also all one species to the other species. Mashenkin in Parshas Pinchas, nothing is essential one to another. Okay, because there's no Yehiyah or Yehiyah you mentioned. Good, ended. And that's the opinion of the Rogat Shover going, seemingly. Now, here we come to the punchline. And it's such a tiring, gewaltig punchline. It's mamish tired. Take out a chumish in Parshas Boy. Now, this is a well-known Rashi, which Grada, I was sitting for a fair bit of the afternoon wondering, where is the Rashi? I remember the Rashi. So I asked Rabbi Rosenfeld, I said, do me a favor, find me, tell me where's the Rashi. I remember the Rashi. I quoted for him verbatim the Rashi. Rashi says, wherever it says, Shivas, this, that is Steinoblas. I knew the Rashi, I knew the old French, but I just couldn't recall, where's that Rashi? Anyway, Rabbi Rosenfeld found me the Rashi. Good? The Rashi. So Tovayol of Brocha, and the Rashi is in Parshas Boy. In the Makas Choshech, take a look at the Rashi. It says that for 3 days they sat in the dark, right? You remember that, right? Okay, where is that Rashi? Where is that Chumash? Here we are. Page 344 in your Stone Edition. It says in the Pasuk, Chav Gimel, Lo Yiro Ish Esoche Velo Komo Ish Mitachtov Shloshes Yomim. It says Shloishes Yomim. It doesn't say Shloisha Yomim. Right? The same terminology like in our case, Shivas, and not Shiva'o. So Rashi explains for us what is Shloishes Yomim, and what is in what way is it different than if it was written Shloisha Yomim. Very important Rashi. Take a look at the Rashi. Let's learn the Rashi together. Rashi, that's in the second column. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the top. Shloishes Yomim, says Rashi, Shilush Shel Yomim, Tratshina Blaz, a sequence of days, a group of days. The Chain Shivas Yomim, Bechol Mokon, wherever Shivas Yomim is mentioned, and not Shiva Yomim, right? It means Shtaino Shel Yomim, a block of days, a group of days. It's not separate days. Shalosh Yomim would say 3 days. So it could be one Sunday, it could be Tuesday, it could be Thursday, right? Shloishes Yomim means sequence, right? There's a sequence of days. Combined days. That's why it says Shloishes Yomim. That means 3 days combined. Take a look at your I don't have it now, I don't want to waste time. Take out your Schottenstein Rashi. You'll see how he Poshet crystallizes the Rashi, you'll appreciate what he says. What the Steiner Balaz, the old French and the new French, etc., basically explaining for you that the, basically where it says Shloishes or Shivas, it means days which are linked to each other, right? The combined, it's grouped, sequence, right? The sequence of days. Mashenkin, 3 days means it could be three separate days, not consecutive days. One not connected or respective to the other, right? Not linked to each other. Shivas Yomim, the same goes for Shivas Yomim. Good? Okay, that's all one group there. Now let's go back home. Let's go back to the Chumash Vayikra and go back to the Chumash Bamidbar. Right? Says the Rogat Shavar going, he doesn't bring the Rashi, but that's shot. I mean, there's no other way to understand this Rogat Shavar. The Rogat Shavar now says, therefore, I can understand why it says Shiva Yomim Parsha Semer, Shiva Kvosim. And here it says Shivas Kvosim. That was our question, right? Why here it's Shiva Kvosim? And why here it's Shivas Kvosim? No, you can answer it yourself now. After the whole Hakadoma which I gave you. The whole introduction. What was the introduction? What the Mishnah says? That everything in Parsha Semer is essential one to another. They're all linked to each other. If you're having one without the other, they're essential and it's nothing to do. You can't bring one without the other. Ah, if that's the case, so it's Shivas Kvasim. It's one unit of Kvasim. No Shiva Kvasim. If you say Shiva Kvasim, it means seven separate Kvasim. Seven separate Kvasim. That means if you have one without the other, you can bring it. One is not bound to the other. But if I say Shivas Kvosim, you can't bring one without the other. They're all tied up. They're knotted together. Shivas Kvosim. One entity. They're all comprised. They're all linked. It's one mitzis. It's one essence. It's one entity. Shivas Kvosim. Mefurash HaMishnu Gemara. Now I'm asking you. It's a Mefurash HaMishnu Gemara. You couldn't chapsich to say that's why it says Shivas Kvosim. I'm a chayit. Mashenkin, that's why it says Shiva Kvosim. Mashenkin over here, Shiva Kvosim. Mashenkin over here. The Baldi Gemara says Mefurash, they're not Ma'akev, right? The Purim and the Elam and the Kvosim. Therefore, it's Shiva Kvosim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that they're separate entities. By the way, I happen to find a big deal. The Ksava HaKabbalah says the same thing, but you know, he's one of the G'dolei Mefurashim, and he deals sometimes with these fine details of the Rashi and the Chumash or whatever. But let me tell you, what he meant wasn't what the Rosh Hashanah meant. Right? Hitaka brings the halacha, etc. etc. But when the Rebbe Chava says it, it's a different ballgame. Anyway, let's not get involved. But good enough, the Ksav HaKabbalah says it. But then I found in a sefer called, I mentioned it frequently, the sefer. It's the Hamaser, I forgot already, but it's from Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid. It's on the Chumash from Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid. It's published by some institution, some institute, whatever. B'choloif, whatever, I forgot already the name. Misera, Havasera, something like Haksiva, Haksiva, Misera. I don't remember, I'll let you know some other time. The Iker is, Rabbi Achos, it says, he says, look, Gvaldik, take a look. He says, take a look, read this Pasuk too. This he says on his own, but Mamish, you know, matches very well, and he quotes the Mishnah. He quotes the Mishnah, that's the Iker. Look what it says. He says in the Pasuk, it says, read, in Pasuk v'hikraftem, in Pashas Pinchos, v'hikraftem, porom nevokar shnayim. Right? So the porom nevokar, two. Ail echot. Shiva kvasim reishonam. Yeah, shiva kvasim. You know what he says? He says it's funny. Normally, just it doesn't even read well. It should have said, what doesn't it say? He says, porim reivokas shnayim. Ve'ail echot. Shiva kvasim. Normally, where's that connecting vav? It's like separate, a separate, why is it separate? Normally, you would have the connecting vav. And take a look at Vayikra. Take a look at back Vayikra. You have mamish connecting vavs in every statement. So Shivas kvasim tmimim b'nei shana. Ufar ben bokor echot. Ve'elim shnoyim. What the heck's going on here? There's vavs in every sentence, on every text, on every issue. A vav in every word, right? On every inyan. And that's exactly what he says. He says, Vival the Mishnah says, the manat ma'akev each other. Therefore, the Torah is basically saying, there's no connecting vav. The vav, when you put a vav in, it means it's connecting. It's connected to the other. They're not connected. Just like within each, right? That we explain. That when we say they're not essential one to another, it means they're not essential, number one, within each group. And also each group is not essential on the other group, right? So therefore, it's shiva kvosim, that's separate kvosim. And number two, there's no ve'ayil, because mamash, the ayil is separate, the para is separate, the kvosim is separate. Mashenkin and vayikra, everything's linked. It's shivas kvosim, and also it's ve'ayil, the para, etc., etc. Gvaldik. What about at the end? It's funny, modna. If so, what does it say? Lishivas kvosim? Modna, right? According to what we said, a whole long this Mefurash Gemara with a Mishnah, Epsach Halacha and Rambam and everything. How does the Shivas HaKvosim come there? When the Torah concludes in 892, right? Where it says that you have to bring the Nesochim, and it has to be the Shivat HaKvosim. What do you mean the Shivat HaKvosim? We just finished saying that the Shiva Kvosim, and one is not essential on the other. So what are we group them together and we say they're linked. Should have said l'shiva kvasim. Says the Rabbi Chavon, gevalon tekesach. Moiredik. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says in Masechta Menachos daf ayin tes. Right? When you have a korban and there are libations. Right? A korban with nesachim. The nesachim accompany the korban. Says the Gemara that the nesachim become consecrated and holy as part of the part and parcel of the sacrifice only once after you've slaughtered the korban. Right? The korban comes together with the nesachim. In other words, and therefore the halacha is, the Rav Chavar explains some other way, therefore the Gemara. So the Gemara there says that therefore, before you slaughter the korban and you place the nesachim in a clay shores, right? In a receptacle which should cause that it should become sanctified and consecrated. Nevertheless, says the Gemara, according to Rashi, it goes so far to say that as long as the korban wasn't slaughtered, you don't even have to sprinkle the blood. Even before the sprinkling of the blood, which really that's the main part of the korban, right? The bringing of the korban, the slaughtering and the sprinkling of the blood. Says the Gemara, the shechit is the main thing, right? One moment. And this, so according to Rashi, Tosfos doesn't like what Rashi is saying, but Rashi, follows what Tosfos is good. But even, especially according to Rashi, Rashi says that therefore if you've placed the minchas nesochim in a clay shoritz, which should cause, it should become consecrated, nevertheless, if the zevach wasn't slaughtered, the korban wasn't slaughtered, it's not regarded as consecrated, and therefore there's no shaila if it goes in and out of the heichol of the Beis HaMikdash of the Azorah, or it stays overnight. There's a halacha, once something's consecrated, it has to be consumed within this time frame, right? But once, as long as the korban wasn't brought, it has no sanctity on it, it's not regarded as consecrated. The consecration on the mincha, even after place being placed in the klei shoris, only occurs after you shech the korban. So the zevach makes the gdushas hanesach, right? Good. Otherwise, there's nothing to it. Good. Therefore, the Rav Chava says some other way, by the way, that if someone brings nesach, there's a teres kainim, a pashas amor, where if you bring nesachim before the zevach, it's possible. The whole thing doesn't make sense. There's a procedure, right? You have to bring the korban, then you bring the nesach. There's no way. Now the halacha is you don't have to bring the nesach immediately. You can even bring it days later. But the halacha is there's no way you can bring the nesach before the korban because it has no meaning whatsoever. It's not consecrated. The whole way, the whole criteria of nesach is only once after the korban was slaughtered. So it must be brought after. Therefore, it's possible before. Says the Rav Chava because of this halacha, because nesach mean nothing without the shechit, the slaughtering of the korban. Good. Now, says the Rav Chava, Givaldik thing. The Rambam paskins, the Rambam codifies, and this is based, questionable exactly what it's based on. There's a whole controversy, because the Ravi doesn't like what the Rambam says, doesn't say what the Rambam says, so the different commentaries of the commentators of the Rambam, and also the commentaries of Masechta Melachos have different ways of finding sources for what the Rambam says. But the halacha is, whatever the case is, this irrespective of what the source is, either it's from Masechta Melachos Daf Mem Vov, or Masechta Melachos Daf Mem Hey, whatever the case is, the rule is as follows. The Rambam says, this is what I've just said, that one is not essential on the other, okay? This is only before the korban was slaughtered. They're all alive, right? We can't obtain, we only are able to get 6 kvasim. Right? And we can't get 7. We can only get 5 kvasim, 1 kevis, says the Rambam, they're not essential. But what happens if you take got your 7 kvasim, right? And you slaughter them. You slaughter them, right? And then one gets lost. Misplaced. You know, there's a whole hoo-ha going on in the Beis HaMikdash. Karbon is clear and tutzach. Aganze, right? Aganze, tumul, humul, tumul dort. Okay? One is misplaced. Or a little lamb, right? A little lamb. Who knows, right? Mary had a little lamb. One lamb is just nelam. Wudos. Gay base. Gay. Right? Sinishdor. Says the Rambam. This one I said, one is not essential, and the other is only before they were slaughtered. But once after all of them were slaughtered, or whatever was there was slaughtered, right? He had 6, 5, they were all slaughtered. And then one becomes missing, nothing doing. Then one is essential on the other. Where do we derive this from? So like I say, some say we know it from Masechta Menachos Daf Mem Hey. Some say we know it from Masechta Menachos Daf whatever. Some want to say that it's taka, whatever. It's not relevant because it's just too technical to get involved. But the Nekudas Advarim is as follows: that because they are all Korbonos Oila, all right. So therefore, they become attached via the Shechita. The Shechita attaches them. They are all grouped as Oila, right? These seven Kfosim. So if they were five, six, seven, or whatever, right? And then we slaughter them. Right, so they become grouped. The Shechita makes Ziko. Ziko means attachment. The Shechita makes the attachment. That's a statement of Masechta Menachos Daf Mem Vav. But according to others, it's from Masechta Menachos Daf Mem Hey, so it's not the gay of all this analysis. But whatever the case is, it may be derived from a pasuk. Okay, that the Shechita will make the difference. The Shechita combines them. And therefore one becomes essential on the other after the Shechita. Good. Good. Okay, so it's clear. All that we've discussed all this afternoon, this evening, that they're not essential is only before the Shechita. After the Shechita, even what is written in Parshas Pinchas is one is essential on the other. Okay? Good. Again, this is all based on the Rogachover's take of this Rambam that is talking about the seven lambs are dependent on each other, some other ways of learning. Okay. Good. Good enough. Says the Rogachover Gevaldik, I think. Listen to this. Take this Pasuk. Where does it say L'shiva Sakfasik? Pasuk Choftes, right? What is he talking about? Isoroin? What is the Pasuk? Let's start reading Choftes. Umenchos, some tourists are talking about the Nesochim. Right? Parshas Pinchos. Talking about the Nesochim? Menchosom, we're talking about the Nesochim. The Minchas Nesochim, which accompany the Korbonos. So the Torah says, Menchosom, Seiles, Blula, Vashemesh, Loisha, Esrenim, Lapor, what the Mincha is meant to be comprised of, yeah? Shnei Esrenim, La'il, Isorin, Isorin, Lakeva, So Echot, etc., etc., right? So the Torah tells us the measurements of the Nesochim, the amounts of the Nesochim. Good. Then it says, right, that Isorin, Isorin, Lakeva, So Shiva, Sakfosim. So when we're discussing the Nesochim, right, we're telling us the amounts of the Nesochim. We mentioned just a moment ago Gemara and Menachos Daf Ayin Tes. What did the Gemara say? That when are Nesachim Bechlal valid and meant to be dealt with and discussed as Nesachim, when is the Nesach HaNesach? Only after Shechita. Before Shechita, the Nesachim, these Menachos, are like any other mundane edibles or food items, right? It's only after Shechita that these Nesachim are regarded as Nesachim. The Torah says that these and these Nesachim are to be brought to accompany these Korbonos. Okay? Good. So the Rogachover going says that because the context of these Psukim are referring to Nesachim and the sanctity, the consecration, the Nesachim become consecrated, right? They are consecrated. They have to be consecrated in the Nesachim. And when do they become consecrated? Only after, the Gemara says in Zvach, in Menachos Daf Ayin Tes, only after the slaughtering of the animal. So what is the situation here? So what is the context here? The context is, the animals were slaughtered, right? And the Nesachim have to be so-and-so, right? Because after the slaughtering, we bring the Nesachim, and only then are they regarded as Nesachim. Good? What did we say? That when do we say the kvasim are not the essential one to another? Only before the slaughtering. So then they are shiva kvasim, right? Separate lambs. But once after the shechita, didn't we say one is essential on the other? And one needs the other. And one is linked to the other. And one is attached to the other. So after the shechita, they are shivas kvasim. You get it? After the shechita of the kvasim of the musvei hayoim, the seven separate kvasim before the shechita become one entity to the degree that if one gets lost, everything else is possible. You can't bring anything. Right? So the shivas kvasim, but how do you know it's after the shechita, says the Rogachover? Because we're talking about the Nesachim. And if we're talking about the Nesachim, the only sense, the only way we can make sense with the Nesachim is only after the shechita of the korban. Because only then do the Nesachim have a gdushas Nesachim. Because a zevach, a Nesachim, bully zevach is no Nesachim. So the Nesachim is after the Shechita. If it's after the Shechita, now we understand why it says the Shivas HaKvosim. Because after the Shechita, the halach is one is essential to the other. Would you believe it? Would you believe it? It's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. Yes. Sounds like a minor detail. And the truth is, you don't have to know Kala Terekula. You just have to know a couple of Gemaras and a couple of Israel. But then you have to have a Rogachover's mind to say that's what the Torah wants. So basically the Torah is saying, well, that's a Rogachover. Here we have how the halacha reflects these many halachas and the fine print and the fine detail of the Torah, so we see how concise everything is and how holy it is, and you can't belittle any slightest, minutest detail, right? Is mamish yisaydose behara rekoidesh, and David the Rogat Shover, that's, you see it throughout his Torah, that the even though he's broad and deep, etc., etc., but nevertheless, with all of that, and together with all of that, dafka, because he's so broad and so deep, etc., he sees in the finest print and the minutest detail, seemingly, that what, that really, externally, that really in everything, there's the biggest amkus and the biggest depth, and everything seems to fit, and it's mirah mirahim, and it's amazing. L'chaim v'levrocha. I just will conclude with just one point, which is, I'm not going to treat it, but just as if you notice, there's a seer, there's just in your siddur, the Chabad siddur, I don't know, I didn't get a chance to look at the Ashkenaz or the Sfarad, but you'll tell me. It says that the Shvu is davening, and the Korbonus Musaf, there is a bracket, right, in the brace, whatever you call it, right, in the parenthesis, it says, by all the Korbonus, it says, v'so'ir l'chaper, and then it says, on Shvu's, you got to say, u'shnei si'irim l'chaper. Now, what are the shnei si'irim l'chaper? Because there's a soir of the Parshas Pinchas. The Torah says you should bring a soir l'chaper. And then also in Parshas Amor, the glal halechem. There's another soir over there. The Torah says soir l'chatos in the Parshas Amor. So because there are two si'irim, one soir b'glal musvei hayoyim, and one soir b'glal Biglal Halechem, so there are two Se'irim we're bringing. So Vibal, there are two Se'irim we're bringing, therefore, Rabbi Yankev Emden, the Yavitz, right, also in his Siddur, it says you should say on Shvuas Ushnei Se'irim Lechaper, and also the Alter Rebbe in his Siddur writes in the bracket, you should say Ushnei Se'irim Lechaper, and I've seen also in a Siddur called Oitzer HaTfilis, a well-known Siddur with all the different commentaries, which is Nusach Ashkenaz or Sfarad, whatever, but he adds there, the editor, which is going back like 100 years ago, whatever, writes that in the Rav Siddur, in the Alter Rebbe Siddur, it says that on Shavuos you say Ushnei Se'irim Lechaper, but this is very controversial, in other words, it's been discussed and analyzed in many Meforshim, in many Svorim, in the Sefer Shara Koilel, and many others who deal and treat this issue, because some of them claim that in the Musvei HaYoyim, what are the Korbonos? Take a look at the structure of your Musaf. You're dealing with the Korbonos of the Musaf of the day, Musvei HaYoyim, right? And that's what we're basically quoting, the Parsha. You'll see the Parsha which we quote in our Musaf, in our prayers of Musaf, Tfilas Musaf, we quote the Parsha of Parshas Pinchas. That's the Musaf. That's the Musaf Hayoyim. We don't quote what is written in Parshas Emor, right? So therefore they claim that in principle, if that's the case, we should only mention there V'soir Lechaper, like by Pesach and like by Sukkot, right?
The way we should you mention that?
By Shavuos, we should only mention V'soir, singular, sorry. Like by Pesach and Sukkot. Nevertheless, the Alter Rebbe and the Yavitz, right, say that on Shavuos, because there was an additional Soir, because Beglal Halechem, therefore we're meant to mention Ushnei Se'irim Lechaper. So this is, like I say, dealt with and treated, but this is another point which I haven't seen the Rogat Shabbat dealing with it, but just raising, because we're touching on the different parshias, I mean different details of the Pasuk, I thought it would be interesting. You'll just ring a bell when you'll open up your Siddur on Shavuos. In the meantime, have a good night.
That's right.
Time
with
the Rogat.
That's right. It's better in the works, and that's really interesting.
Yeah, definitely so.
Okay. If we're saying that in Emor,